Once the surgery is done, once everybody else got their job done, it's going to then be all up to me. And so I need to make sure that my body was prepared for such a, you know, a traumatic event. And will it be able to bounce back?
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Rita Roy, CEO at the National Spine Health Foundation. And I'm your host for the Get Back to It podcast, where we tell real stories of healing and recovery. What does it mean to get back to it? It means overcoming injury through treatments that work in order to return to the people and activities you love, whatever that looks like for you. It means getting back to your life. We're here to share the success stories of those who did just that. And some of these stories you are not going to believe. At the Get Back to It podcast, our goal is to tell stories of spinal champions who've been able to achieve a better quality of life through spinal health care. Today, we are delighted to be interviewing a spinal champion we've had the privilege of knowing for a few years, Raf R. Raf has supported the National Spine Health Foundation by attending our We've Got Your Back races and traveling all the way to Virginia from the West Coast for the 12th annual. Raf is a high-level athlete who discovered he had a herniated disc after initially experiencing hip pain during triathlon training. Now that you know what to expect, let's get back to it and dive right into Raf's story. Raf R. began experiencing pain in his right hip while training for a triathlon at the age of 40. The pain became more excruciating and he experienced numbness in his foot that led him to need a cane for some time. Upon seeking professional medical help from a spine practice, Raf was able to discover what was going on.
My doctor determined that I had a grade 1 spondylolisthesis between my S1 and L5. And there was a herniated disc that had herniated enough that it was laying right up against my sciatic nerve, which was causing pain right down my right leg that went all the way down to my foot. Later on, as I was working with him, he discovered that I had a fractured L4 vertebrae as well.
Spinal fusion was the only treatment that would correct Raf's situation and eliminate the excruciating pain he was experiencing. But Raf didn't just jump straight into surgery. Raf's doctor recommended that he initially have a cortisone shot to reduce the pain and swelling. He then used his temporary pain relief as an opportunity to, quote, train for surgery.
Yes, so I decided to go into the gym, trained hard as if I was training for the biggest race of my life. I got back to riding my bike and swimming and running again as if there wasn't any danger that was inside my body. I was afraid that after surgery that I was going to have quite a bit of downtime. And so my mindset was I wasn't training for specifically the surgery. I was training for the moment that once I open up my eye, that really is the defining moment. Once the surgery is done, once everybody else got their job done, it's going to then be all up to me. And so I need to make sure that my body was prepared for such a, you know, a traumatic event. And will it be able to bounce back? I wanted to make myself stronger for the recovery process because that's the most important aspect of the surgery.
Raf was wise to be thinking ahead about what life would look like after surgery. Unfortunately, however, as the weeks progressed, the pain began to slowly creep back.
So for me, this was just another reminder that surgery still needed to happen. For me, in a way, a twisted way, it was a reminder that there is damage done and I don't want to progress that pain. I don't want to make it any worse than it already was. And so my doctor decided that I needed a 2-level fusion, and that was done maybe a year or so after the initial onset of extreme pain down my right leg, including the numbness. But because of my hard work, I was able to walk again the very first day when I opened up my eyes to start my recovery process.
Uniquely, Raf didn't need a physical therapist in the hospital. He was getting up on his own, walking numerous laps around the facility, and even regularly walking up flights of stairs. Walking was serving as a daily catalyst for his recovery. He also made sure to keep track of all the progress he was making.
Yes, the walking up the steps, that was awesome. I was told, in my delirium, I was told I needed to walk up 6 steps, and I never saw, I didn't see any steps around until I went to the hallway and I found some steps, and I twisted in my mind and thought, oh, 6 flights. I'm like, I asked how many stories, there's 10 stories, we're on the 4th floor, I'm going to the roof. And so I walked up to the rooftop, and then I would make laps around the waiting room area and go by every single patient's room and tell them, you know, it's time to get up and let's get walking. And there was a couple people who were there who would walk with me, and we would race. And it was quite an interesting time. When I was released from the hospital, I used an app, MapMyFitness at that time, which would track my progress. And 6 days after my surgery, when I got home, I tried to find like an area for me to walk that was safe, no hills, it was as flat as possible. And I was able to walk about almost a mile and a half, 1.3 miles or so, in about 24 minutes. And at first I was kind of, you know, disheartened because I was running, but for walking that distance at that time, thinking that my body would just slide off the top at my L4 vertebrae, I was pleased. Then I figured, you know, after picking up the pace a little bit, I started pushing it a little too much, and the pain level would then increase. And so then I'd have to stop walking. And there was a couple times where I was down for a good 4 to 5 days, and I had to rely on my medication, and I used an ice vest, which was a saving grace. I highly recommend them. It's hard to find those, but that saved my recovery process. And then as for the medication, I tried my best to wean myself off them because there were family issues with that, and it helped out.
Despite Raf's amazing personal fitness achievements, just days after surgery, it was still important that he sought expert help from physical therapists post-op. 8 weeks after his spinal fusion, he began physical therapy. Just 13 weeks after his spinal fusion, he went on his first run. You can only guess what his active lifestyle looked like not much time after his surgery. We'll give you a hint. It involves a huge victory at our We've Got Your Back race for spinal health.
Yeah, so back in 2015, I was running, you know, after my surgery, I was running about 17 miles a week or so. And I really pushed myself, and I started thinking more grand scale, like, how am I going to really like blow the lid off of this? And I went and saw my spine surgeon, and, you know, I was visiting him often. And one day, you know, I came in and we had a good conversation, and I said, I'm going to tell you, you mark my words, I'm going to be the poster child for spine fusion. And we had the biggest laugh, and there were patients all inside in the waiting room. And I'm pointed to them like, you'll see, I'm hard-headed, it's going to happen. And so I decided like, well, okay, what am I going to do? We have, I found out about the We Got Your Back race, and it was around a lake that was nearby my house, like four and a half miles around. I used to run that ran high school cross country. And I said, okay, I could do that. And I looked for some other races, and I said, you know what, I'm going to push myself. And after running a 5K for 4th of July, so my fusion happened April 11th. And then on the 4th of July, there was a 5K fun run. And I decided I was going to walk the race. And I saw someone, there was a gentleman, what we call Ben Hurring it. He was pushing his two children in a stroller. And I said to myself, there's no way on this planet I'm going to allow him to beat me. So the testosterone picked up, and I decided to kind of walk as fast as I could. And then I picked up my pace a little bit, and I was able to jog. So downhills were the worst, so I had to walk really slowly. I found a half marathon. I ran a half marathon, and I did it in 2:47, I think.
Wow.
2:41, something like that. And so I was ecstatic. I'm like, all right, I think I'm back.
That's amazing.
And that was my first half marathon. So
wow.
I was, and then the following weekend was the We Got Your Back race. And I already knew, I'm like, this is it. I've got this in the bag. I wasn't even thinking about other patients. I mean, I saw the patients, and I would, you know, giving them high five and really cheering them on and motivating them. But they didn't know who I was. I kind of hid myself the whole time. And then I finally take my shirt off, and now I have my yellow and red spinal champion shirt. And like, what, this dude? So I took first in all the spine patients, and I was 10th overall.
That's so amazing. So tell me again, what was the time after your spinal fusion to your half marathon?
5 months.
Yeah, 5 months.
Yeah, 5 months.
5 months after a spinal fusion, you competed in your first half marathon.
Right.
Bravo.
3 weeks.
Bravo.
3 months. It was the 5K.
Yeah, that is just amazing. And 3 months after your spinal fusion was the 5K.
Right. And the way that I progressed to that is to track my walks. I decided if I can get my pace to about a 14-minute mile, then I could actually start jogging, because jogging could be about maybe a 12-minute mile. So, but you know, that's where the pain would kick in if I went too fast or if I missed a step. The feeling of missing a step off the sidewalk, and it would send like a, you know, shockwave up my spine, and I realized I got it back.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting to that light jog was, that was like, you know, a very joyful, tearful moment. I was so thankful.
Ralph also notes the importance of support during his journey of pain to training, to surgery, to recovery. He joined a special spondylolisthesis support group on Facebook to find community in his spine health journey. At the National Spine Health Foundation, we also understand the need for a supportive community and have created a back and neck pain support group on Facebook that's completely free and open to join.
So I wanted to prove that the human body can persevere despite the odds. And one of my favorite professors, Lady Estella, she said that, you know, in your life, there are going to be roadblocks along the way. And you could either use them as an excuse for why you fail, or you can use them, you can say that despite those roadblocks, I am going to be successful. And so I wanted to be successful. And the way that I taught my students all throughout the years is I use the mantra, I believe in myself. And I use that as my mantra. Like, I believe that I'm going to get better. I can foresee myself getting back to what I was before, whatever that is. And so, and then I know that I succeeded, and I will continue to provide that hope for others.
Additionally, Raf does not take all the credit for his impressive recovery story. He knows that it was with the help of his medical care team that he achieved success.
Exactly correct. Like, don't let my determination, my naivety to, you know, just to let that fool you, because I had a whole support team, the surgical team, I had my physical therapist who was on me. I showed up to my physical therapy on a mountain bike of all things, and like just ready to sign up. And they looked at me like I was crazy, and I got chastised for it. And I needed that. So I needed to be knocked down, chopped down multiple levels, because, you know, when you start feeling like everything's normal again, you forget. You know, I need those little gentle reminders. Like, you realize that your body has gone through some trauma. Calm down, and you can bounce back to get where you want to. But if you jump in too hard, too fast, you're going to re-injure yourself. So definitely.
Take it a little slower.
Those people, including those in the support group, kind of ground me. And I take their stories and I take my reality into play as I move forward.
Raf, I have just so enjoyed talking with you today. We've met before, and, you know, we met in person before, and here we are on the podcast, you know, thousands of miles apart from each other. But I feel like you're sitting right next to me, and that's pretty amazing, because I just, you know, you just blow me away with your determination and your doggedness to get over this and get back to your life. And that's what we're here to tell people, that it's a little bit of mind over matter. I love what you said about, you know, the medical team does their part, but you knew that you had to do your part too, and you were just determined to get to it. And I think, you know, it's clear to me that you were determined not to give up that active lifestyle that you loved so much. And you really did take on the challenges of the disc disorder and the vertebral problem that you had. I'm a spinal champion too, as you know. And, you know, there are days when it can feel really hard to experience pain and to feel limitations. I'd love to know, were there days when your journey felt harder than others? And how did you find it within yourself to stay positive? I mean, how do you take those words of advice that your professor has given you, or the things that you've learned, and you have to really live that. And how did you, you know, how do you do that? Can you tell me what that was like for you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, what some of those days were like?
Nowadays, people are living the Instagram lifestyle. They got that filter going on, and, you know, like, everything is all rosy and it's amazing. And, you know, you never see people taking pictures of themselves really struggling. And I'm not talking about a meme struggling, like real, you know, day to day, you know, the grind. And so there were, there were quite a few days that, you know, numerous days where, you know, I would just keep to myself because, you know, I hurt and I understood the pain, and then I could feel other people's pain. And, you know, I started trying to figure out, well, who can support me? And, you know, my wife now, but at the time she's like, she doesn't know how to like get me going. It's gotta be me, and I gotta figure it out for myself. What am I gonna do? So I started, I looked for some motivational podcasters out there, and, you know, I found E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. He was one big that I would love to meet him one day. He really turned everything around because he was the first person that later on, when I heard of Simon Sinek, if you know him, so Your Reason Why, and both of those have a similar theme of you have to find your why. What's the reason for this? And at that time, the year prior, my world had been flipped upside down. I was supporting my now my wife at the time with going through breast cancer, and she was recovering from chemotherapy, and it was rough. And I had to do everything in my power to make sure that, you know, I was strong for her. We did have a couple moments where we were tearing up, and we let our guard down, like, okay, this is tough. We're struggling. We're not all stoic, right? So we have that tender side. And so now it was for some reason, it's my turn to go through my struggle. And, you know, and I'm like, well, I still have to help provide. I have to be that coach that I was to her. I cannot allow myself to get down. So I would look at pictures of her in her down moments. And I'm like, that's my why. She's my why. She's in my corner. I've been in her corner. Now she's in mine. And if she could go through this horrendous, couple years of just crazy grind, then I can, and I know I will. And I use my students from my classroom who were just, you know, cheering me on in the background, because I had my cortisone shot in December of the year before my suit fusion. And that lasted me until till spring break. And then I took spring break and the rest of the year off. And I knew all my students and all my kiddos were, you know, they love Mr. R. I'm that teacher at my school, and they love it. So, you know, I could not allow myself to fail. And so, you know, looking for that motivation in myself, looking to others to kind of incite that in me, that really pointed me in the right direction. And that's what I try to instill in others. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, Raph. I mean, one of the big reasons why we do this podcast is at the foundation, we believe that, you know, we say the journey to spinal health cannot be made alone. And having that support network, having people who rely on you, sort of motivating you and thinking, you know, I think about your students, you talk so often about how dedicated you are to the kids and the love and respect and admiration that goes both ways between you and your kids, and wanting to be there for them. That drives you, and that's a lot of people on that journey cheering for you. That's amazing, really amazing. Raph, one of the most remarkable pieces of your story is the way you set out to train and strengthen yourself prior to having your surgery. This is something that many people don't consider prior to surgery, and they may fear this option or this notion of prehab training. And what do you think was the greatest benefit to you for having that? You had that cortisone shot, it gave you some relief, but then you took those steps.
Right. So,
and tell us about that.
So that's a good point. The way that I looked at it, you know, you'll get your pamphlet and it will lay out like what's going to happen. Like, so I would go in understanding from my support groups that, you know, a well-informed patient is the best, you know, those are the best ones. But, you know, of course you go in with way more questions than, or there's not enough answers to all your questions. I totally get that, but you should really kind of lay out a map of the beginning and the end. And so where can you foresee yourself? There are things that are completely out of your control, So I looked at it as we're a whole team. Everyone has mm-hmm. their role. And so you as a patient, you have a role as well. It's not like, you know, you just bring your car into the shop, someone else does it, you bring it back and you drive off. So you know, your car needs to be treated well, just like you have to treat your body well. And you only get one body. So the way that I would look mm-hmm. at it is, okay, so when everyone, if everyone does their job right, then that sets you up for the best possible scenario at the end. And so I was looking at it toward with the end goal in mind. And like I said earlier, that when I was given the cortisone shot, that gave me, and my mindset was, I have 4 months before my surgery. If I look at statistics that people are giving me, that I'm not going to be able to walk anymore, I'm not going to run, I might need a cane or a walker. And then you get these crazy, scary thoughts in your mind, like, well, what if everything changes? And so my mindset was no. So how about if I look at this as an opportunity to strengthen myself? If I can't feel the pain, if the pain has been numbed by the cortisone shot, then why don't I just go out as if I'm training for what, like I said before, the most difficult challenge of my life. And you don't mm-hmm. want to go into your most difficult challenge weak. So number one, I educated myself. Mm. So I studied up, I did multiple websites. That really set me up for success in the long run. And so when I tried to talk to other people about, you know, if you keep yourself strong, then at the end, when you open your eyes and now it's your turn to take your first step and your turn to walk, if your body has been lax, then when you start to, if you trained yourself to a certain level, you don't, and you lose a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll use that. So if you lose a few steps, you can gain those back. But if I just sat back and I didn't do, if I just lived a normal life without training, just going to school, teaching, my body would, in my mind, atrophy. Like, I'm going to lose some muscle mass. I'm going to lose some strength. Why do I want to train whilst doing physical therapy? So I'm not going to be back to where I was, you know, say in December. So that was my mindset.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That's, it's amazing that you had that awareness, that you got comfortable enough that you could take action in that way, and that your surgeon supported you and encouraged you. Did you find that meeting people online in a spondylolisthesis group, you know, finding community of people who'd been through something similar to what you'd been through, was that helpful to you in figuring out how to approach your recovery?
In the groups that I was in, I was amongst the, you know, the one percenters, so to speak. There were very few people who had completely bounced back or were living what they would call a quote unquote normal life. There was a majority of them who were in the doldrums. And so I took that upon myself as to provide, just like, okay, I looked at them as my students, and it's a support group for all of us, but I'm going to try to step up and to provide that positive motivation for everyone to say, you know what, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't foresee the future, but if I set myself up, I can't see the future. But if I put all my effort into maintaining myself, then in the end, I could say, look, I did everything possible. And if I fail, I fail. If not, there you go. So it was rough seeing those people who were struggling. And so then I would challenge them, like, okay, so today, how about, you know, you get out of the house and can you just practice, just go open the front door. How about go out to the street and go pick up your newspaper if you get one. And if you could do that, can you go down to the next door neighbor's house? Just one time. That's all I'm asking.
The intrinsic Correct. Teacher in you took over and tried to share your encouragement with others. That's
wonderful to hear amazing. People who are saying, I did it today. You know, today I went around the block. Like, wow, I only asked you to go to the corner, but you went around the block. Like, that's amazing. So, you know, you might take a rest for a little bit. And there, you know, it's some great, great stories in there. And, you know, it's just my job to... I take it upon myself to kind of provide that other side of the story, that may be missing. And now it's like, you know, when someone comes in new to the group and they'll post a question and they're like, oh, our resident athlete, and they'll tag my name, and then I get it and I come in and I chime in. So it's good.
And Raf, would you recommend to other spinal champions that they do what you've done? You literally have become the poster child. We have you on our poster here at the National Spine Health Foundation. Do you recommend that other spinal champions do as you've done and tell their story? How would you say to others?
Educate yourself. Join as many support groups as possible, because it's better to cast a wide net and see and hear from other people. If you find one group and you stay in that one group, it might not have, it's like going to a party and you walk into the door and you're like, this isn't my scene. And you go find another one. And you might want to check in with that party every once in a while, but I'm going to associate myself with people who are like-minded. If you are willing to put forth the effort to motivate other people, if you're self-motivated, then you'll be okay in any group. But I would say if you join, two or three different groups and you could pick people's minds, pick the brain, then you can use that and add that to your mental toolbox, so that when it comes your turn to face whatever obstacle you have in your way, you'll be able to pass it through.
Raf, I've just so enjoyed connecting with you today. Anything else you want to tell us in closing? Anything we didn't discuss? I mean, I think that the fear that you had in learning about your diagnosis, where the disc was damaging and pressing on your spinal cord, walking with a cane, thinking that you may not be able to be athletic again, and that you needed to have this procedure done. And now you become the recognized athlete in these groups, and you're the poster child for athleticism after spinal fusion. That's just an incredible story. And I am so honored that you share it with us.
Yeah. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's nice to see you again. And when I found out that you were yourself a spinal champion, like, there are more of us out there, so we have to be heard. Our voices have to be heard. So just, for all the listeners, it's not all about being athletic. It's not all about competing. You don't necessarily have to enter some huge competition, but you are, the way that I looked at it, you are in a competition with yourself. And so what I've learned over my years is we're not worried about anyone else but yourself, because each of us has a story.
At the National Spine Health Foundation, something we believe in most is providing hope for recovery through sharing stories of success and expertise. It isn't always easy to find someone to relate to, even though 100 million adults suffer from neck or low back pain each year. To hear more stories of recovery and access educational materials about spine health, visit us at spinehealth.org. If you're interested in supporting our show financially, you can contribute at the link provided. Thank you for listening. The information and views expressed in the Get Back to It podcast are intended for informational purposes and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice or to replace the services of trained healthcare providers. To view the National Spine Health Foundation's full disclaimer, visit spinehealth.org.